has a discussion about
Hatzah Malacha Grua. It's the first essay. And he mentions, he doesn't talk about the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, where there is a suffix about this, but he does discuss the question of whether there is an exemption in Hatzah for Kilkul, as Shmuley pointed out. And he uses it to explain the Gemara, you could add it to your Ramah Chumos list, but it's, if you want to take a look now, it's the Gemara in the end of Hazorik and Dafkut Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara has a line over here in the middle of the Amud that if somebody throws something on Shabbos and it is eaten by a dog, presumably that's his purpose, that it should be eaten by a dog, or it goes into an oven, and as Rashi writes over here, b'fi akivshon v'nisrafa b'shal heves, and it is consumed within the oven, so apparently he's chayiv for that. So the Rav asked, why should he be chayiv for that? Doesn't that seem to constitute kilkul? And if we normally assume that makalkalin is potter, so why should that be chayiv here? And to that he says, which again is consistent with the suffix of the Beis Yitzchak, that perhaps there is no exemption of makalkal when it comes to hotzah, because the exemption only applies when a malacha is purposeful or has a specific purpose to accomplish. And since hotzah is defined differently, it's not subject to this. Now, then there's a bracket to the end where he makes another very interesting observation that might be helpful to us as kind of a piece of the puzzle. So he discusses the concept of malacha shein yitzricha legufa, which we might as well give a minute to because it's such a fundamental Shabbos topic anyway, so it's a good opportunity to explain it. So we know that there is an exemption in Hilchos Shabbos in general, the way we pass it. It's not an exemption according to everyone. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. It's even a machlokas in the Rishonim. But we generally assume that there is a patur in Hilchos Shabbos called malacha shein yitzricha legufa. So the question is, what is the malacha shein yitzricha legufa? So this is a major machlokas ha-Rishonim, and most of the Rishonim say the less famous interpretation. The more famous interpretation is the minority view, is the view of Tosfos. Although I think we mentioned in the past, the next generation will definitely consider this to be the majority view, because if you look in Rabbi Chait's picture book on the Malachas of Shabbos, this is the view that he quotes. So this is the defining the education of the next generation, so this will for sure become even more famous. But it is a machlokas Rishonim, that most of the Rishonim understood that a malacha shein yitzricha legufa is a malacha that doesn't have a productive purpose. It goes back to this whole idea that the malacha by its very nature should be constructive. And if a malacha is negative in its nature, or if something that would have been a malacha is negative in its nature, it's about getting rid of something. So then that's a malacha shein yitzricha legufa. That's how most of the Rishonim understand it. Tosfos' unique position is that, and again, this is a more familiar definition, is that the malacha has to match the Mishkan, and whatever the purpose was in the Mishkan, that defines the purpose of the malacha. And if you do the malacha for a different purpose, even if it is constructive, but if it's a different purpose, so then that's also called the malacha shein yitzricha legufa. So Tosfos, when he talks about that, so one of the primary mishnayos that's relevant from malacha shein yitzricha legufa happens to be talking about hotzah. I think we talked about this 2 years ago, where the Mishnah talks about if, let's say, somebody has a mace in his house and he wants to take it out on Shabbos, so that is considered to be a malacha shein yitzricha legufa. So most of the Rishonim understand it because it's more about taking it outside than getting it for yourself. More of a negative purpose than a positive purpose. But Tosfos over there, addressing this hotzah, says that hotzah in the Mishkan is because they needed the materials that they were using. So in the Mishkan, that was the purpose of hotzah. So if you are taking something out of your house to not have it anymore, so then, or not have it there, that is not the function from the Mishkan. So the relevance is, and pointed out over there, is that, not sure if this is from the Rav or not, because it's a footnote, I don't know, whoever it is in the Sefer Ha'arei Kedem. So he points out that this seems to be a little bit at odds with what we're saying. Because if we've been assuming till now that Hotzah doesn't really have an end game, doesn't really have a purpose per se, it's more about what you're doing while you're doing it, the fact that you are performing this action of carrying, so then this may be at odds with that a little bit. Because to say, oh, there was a function in the Mishkan, okay, so then that's what's accomplished. You make these items available. So the truth is, that is interesting, but maybe that just helps us flesh it out a little bit. That especially, L'shitas Tosfos, if you want to line it up, so we understood, the view of many who interpret it this way, that Tosfos sees Hotzah as moving something from one Rishus to another Rishus. So perhaps especially within that understanding, so that's why they say that, because in the Mishkan, the idea of Hotzah was to bring something into the Rishus where you needed it to be, to bring it to the Rishus where it was available. And that's all part of this idea, and it's consistent with what we've said within Tosfos, that it is actually an impact on the item, just it's a chiddush, it's not the kind of impact we normally would have understood to be significant, but the whole chiddush of Malach Guru and the Psukim is that it's significant. So this all could fit in very well, that making this item available, that was the goal of Hotzah in the Mishkan, and that's why that is considered to be significant. Something goes from unavailable to available, it goes from there to here, so that's considered to be a change. You would have thought, nah, the chiddush of Hotzah is that it is, and that's a malacha. Once you know that fact, it's a malacha that's not so radically different than all the other malachas of Shabbos. Just to give a little bit of a comparison in terms of language, again, you can take this as you will, you may consider this relevant or not, but it's a little bit interesting just to give a little bit of a muscle for how this is significant. So you can call it a coincidence that intertwined with Daf Beis is a different level of synergy, because it's actually all on our Daf, but synergy from within the Daf. So we saw that intertwined with Daf Beis is the sugya of L'sni Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol, which we spoke about a little bit on Sunday. So one of the elements to make something Asam and Atorah in terms of L'sni Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol, you're considered helpful, you're only in violation of L'sni Iver if you're a crucial part of the picture, they really need your help. And if your help is not 100% necessary, they could do the Aveira without you, so then you're not in violation of the Minhag Torah of L'fnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol. So what's the language the Gemara uses to represent something which is doable and something which is not doable? So what? Right. So Eitrei Avdanaira, that means something is impossible functionally. They can't do it without you. It's impossible without you. That's called Trei Avdanaira. And what's language for possible? So it's interesting, this kind of locational definition, basically saying that if it's near you, it's in your Rishus, you have it. If it's in a different Rishus, you don't have it. And it kind of highlights this idea that using this language, and we even mentioned on Sunday that l'halacha, the definitions are a little more fluid than they sound, because nothing's really impossible, because if he could get you to help, he could probably eventually get somebody else if he works harder. And also, nothing's really just as possible without you, because if it was really possible without you, then he wouldn't be asking you to help. So it must be that you're at least making it easier or quicker or something. So these definitions are a little bit subjective. But the use of this kind of terminology, basically, you want to call something accessible, possible, it's in your rishus, however flexible that might be. And you want to say it's not available, then that's called trei avdanaira, it's in a different rishus, so to speak. So perhaps that kind of gives a little bit of a muscle to what's going on here, that the tachlis in the Mishkan was to have this item where you need it, and that's what Hotzah is, and therefore in that spirit, the definition of Hotzah, according to Tosfos, is to take it away from the other Rishos, i.e. unavailable Rishos, and B, bring it to here, i.e. available Rishos. Okay, so with that Ha'ara, so now we enter into the subject of Toldos, not the sugya as a whole, but, and not the Parsha, a lot of Parshas and Brachos that are negated to the sugya, Toldos, Vayetze, a lot of things that come up, Lech Lecha, may also be a Melacha. So a lot of Parshas and Brachos are relevant to this particular Melacha. So in terms of Toldos, so now just to discuss the aspects that may or may not be Toldos, so we need a moment just to understand the best that we can in a minute, what exactly Toldos are in Hilchos Shabbos. So Toldos are mysterious concepts a little bit. The language of Av and Tolda comes up in Halacha in a few places, most notably three places. It comes up in the context of Avos Nezikin, that was this past week's Parsha, and Parsha's Mishpatim. It comes up in the context of Tumah, as the Gemara in Mishnah beginning of Shavuos draws the parallel between Avos Malachos and Avos HaTumah. And it's also, obviously, a terminology that we use in Halacha Shabbos. But the question of whether terms mean the same thing in all places, so that's a discussion that already comes up in the Gemara a little bit. How do we use the language? Do we use it in parallel ways? Do we use it in ways that are a little bit different? And the Rishonim discuss this. The Gemara already introduces this topic. But we know, for example, that Rashi says in the beginning of Bava Kamma that when the Mishnah says Arba Avos Nezikin, so the Avos there, that language Rashi says, it means Avos Kari Lahanach Dixivim Mikra. That those concepts that are in the Chumash itself, that's called an Av, and that which is derived from it is called a Toldah. So that definition is not going to be so perfect for us in Halacha Shabbos, because we've been working off the assumption that basically nothing is really explicit in Chumash, or almost nothing is really explicit in Chumash. So for the Avos, we go into the Mishkan, and the Gemara has in Bava Kamma and elsewhere a language which sounds like it means that if something was in the Mishkan, and Chashiv, Hachtav Mishkan Chashivi, Kari Malacha, that it has to both be present in the Mishkan and be something that was significant. We can't necessarily say anything that any movement that was in the Mishkan is automatically a malacha, because it has to be of significance, and that's also a part of our issue here, that even Hotzah having been in the Mishkan is not enough, because we're unsure of its impact. So when we talk about a tolda, so toldas end up having very little, if any, nafgamina in Hilchos Shabbos, because functionally a tolda is still an iser daraisa with all of the consequences of the iser daraisa that it's connected to. And the Gemara makes it sound, the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kamma makes it sound like there isn't really any significance at all to something being a tolda versus an av, except that for purposes of categorization. So since, as we've been discussing, there's a concept of chiluk malachos, and every av has a distinct identity, at least as far as onshin are concerned, at least as far as the karbanos are concerned. So a tolda would be included within a distinct av. But other than that, it's no less chamer for the most part, and has all of the same dinim. However, there is a possibility that there are some nafkaminas lalach, and I'm just saying this a little bit as a background, that there is a view on achronim based on Rishonim. There are some around, for example, as saying this, that a tolda she'ena tzricha lagufa is almost nothing, maybe a very weak derabanan, if anything. That maybe when you combine the ideas of Malach Shein Etzrich Leguf and Atolda, and we'll explain a little bit more about this in a second, then you've really reduced the significance of the act. And those, like we said, there are those who read the Ram this way, others argue. The Eglay Tal, for example, the Avnei Nezer in his Sefer, so in his discussion of the Malacha of Dash, so he says it can't be true. If this is so, it can't be the case, because we just mentioned that the Gemara says there isn't really an afkamina between Avos and Toldos, so you can't come out with any halachic differences, and this would be a pretty significant halachic difference. So you don't have to necessarily be swayed by that objection. And Rav Shechter points out in one of his Sfarim that the Gemara could have just meant that in essence there's no real nafkamina, but if you put all the parts together and it comes out that there's a halachic difference, the Gemara doesn't necessarily mean to exclude that as a possibility. The Gemara just means to say that definitionally this is the only difference, but it still could come out practically that there's a difference. Hi.
Doesn't the Gemara, I think it's on Tani Bav, discuss some difference between Avos and Toldos and Shabbos, like whether you combine them together, it counts as two or something?
Right, so that's the Iker difference, right? The idea that seems to be the only difference, which would come out that nowadays there's no practical difference. So that's what the Eglay Tal is saying, is that if that's what the Gemara says, that's really the only difference. How could you tell me this big nafkamina la halacha that the malacha and shvirich l'gufa by a tolda is not going to be a real malacha? So that's the Eglay Tal's objection. And you have to question how much that's really an objection. You could say that it just means the Gemara is presenting it as this is the only definitional difference, but it doesn't have to rule out any practical differences possible.
Isn't there also a difference of what you can warn somebody?
Right, so that's again, so that goes to the categorization issue. Right, and this is something we touched upon a little bit yesterday, or 2 days ago, what's today? We talked about Hasra B'Shem Ha'av, that the question of whether there is a requirement of Hasra B'Shem Ha'av is a little bit of my focus for Shonim, but it would affect that. It goes to the whole question of why the Gemara cares about Avos at all. And, as we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, that there is a machlokes harishonim that normally if somebody's going to be chayiv misa for Chilul Shabbos, which is very hard to do because you have to follow a lot of rules and it's too many to keep track of. So one of them is you have to receive hasara. You have to be formally warned. So the formal warning, so it's machlokes rishonim whether you have to mention the av. You have to actually identify the specific malacha. And the rishonim discuss why that would be. That on the one hand doesn't seem to follow because all the other Yisurim in the Torah, you don't have that requirement. It's enough just to say what it says in the Chumash. So why should this be different? But the counter argument is that every time the Gemara gets involved in the question of what Av we're talking about, why do we care? Every time the Gemara says, this malacha, this action, somebody does such and such. Mishomai masrinim bay. What hasra do we give them? So who cares? So you don't have to mention it anyway. So all these discussions the Gemara has seems to be around issues like that. But as we'll see, even if there aren't practical differences, and there might be, but the biggest value these discussions really have is to help us understand what a malacha is really about. Because how do you get to a tolda? And this will explain the malacha and Shri Kol Gufa point in a second. How do you get to what is a tolda? So a tolda, it's not clear what a tolda is. And it's not clear how exactly you get to a tolda. And to some extent, you have to work backwards from the Rishonim. Right. To some extent, you have to look at the Rishonim and see, okay, they call this a tolda, this an av. Why? And then you have to figure it out. You have to try to see what the patterns are. So the most common understanding that you find based on Rashi's position and others, so for example, if you were learning Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, so when the Gemara lists off the first couple of malachas, and it says, Hazareya, Hachorei, Shakotzer, etc., so for each one, the Gemara has a brief sugya. And it says Zareya, and it lists five or six verbs that are connected with Zareya. All of these, you do any of these actions, it's a violation of Zareya. Choresh lists a few verbs that all are in the Choresh family. So in each one of those passages, Zareya, Choresh, Kotzer, etc., so the Rishonim fight over all of them, and they say, okay, in Zareya there are five verbs listed, two of them are avos, three of them are toldos. Another Rishon will say, three of them are avos, two of them are toldos. And the Rambam will say they're all of us. Each one is going to be viewed differently, have many, many different views in the Rishonim, how to read these passages, and then you got to work backwards to figure out what are the patterns.
Hi. Why can you say there are others and some there are
others? Oh, so that gets things even more confusing. Thanks for asking that, because it's an important point to point out. And it really is hard to hold cup with all these things, because it does throw in a lot of confusing points that there aren't only 39 of us. That even though we say there are 39 avos, we mean there are 39 slots in the vending machine, basically imagine it that way. And there are things which can be similar enough and can be included in the same slot in the vending machine. That basically you put your dollar in the vending machine, you don't care whether it's this item or that item, so we can justify it, we put them in the same slot. So the most, probably the most prominent example of that is slot number 11 on our list, which is Bishul / Ofeh. Right, so those are considered to be two distinct actions, but they're both avos, and they both occupy the same slot. So it's very confusing. So we think we have 39 avos, not true. We have more than 39 avos, we just have 39 slots for avos, and then we have toldos, which could also be in the same slot. Hi.
What is the purpose of the Gemara trying to figure out how we get 39?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a very complicated filing system, right? That first of all, everything can be packed into, more than one thing can be packed into a category. And then for some reason, the categories themselves are significant. So apparently, these are all still significant in terms of how many types of chatos you could have, how many karbanos you could have. But still, the categories could be broader than they seem. The categories could essentially feel that different actions are essentially identical, even if they're different. And other actions are close enough to be subsumed within their heading. And the, practically, the distinction in practical halacha in 2014 is going to be extremely slim. But conceptually, some of this is very valuable to help us to understand what the root of a malacha is. So the most common understanding is based on the way Rashi says it, for example. That doesn't say it, the way Rashi's position seemed to indicate that the malachas of Shabbos have, in general, a form, a way of doing them, and the tachlis, they have a purpose, they're meant to accomplish something. So, therefore, If that's the case, if you have a scenario where you have the same purpose, but it's a different form, it's a different action that you're doing, so then that will be a tolda. That's the way many assume, that a tolda shares the same intent, the same form, as the same intent, the same function as one of the 39 malachos, but takes a different form. So to give an example, since Orei is the first one on that list, and I give him all the bays, so when the Gemara lists off different actions that are associated with Zareya, so one of them is Zoma, is pruning. Right? So you're cutting things off of a plant or of a tree so that the plant will grow better. So Rashi understands that to be a tolda. So the later Sfarim explain that, yeah, because functionally, you're trying to do the same thing as Zriya. You're trying to make this plant grow better. So it's connected to Zriya for that reason. It has the same purpose. But the action that you're doing is the opposite. Normally, Zareya means you put things into the ground. Here, you're taking something away from the ground. So the action is opposite. You can't call that an av. It's a tolda, but the reason it's at least a tolda is because it has the same goal. Now, not all the Rishonim agree with this. The Rambam, for example, is much more generous in his definition of an av. He's much more willing, and it's going to be relevant here as well, to include other things in the avos heading. And it seems to be that his understanding is that it's not so much about part A and part B, about the function and the form, but it's about just how comparable it is. That if something is comparable in its goal, that he'll consider that an av. And there's somewhat of a question of degree, how comparable is it? In other words, it could be a little bit subjective, that something that's really very comparable, that'll be an av. And something that's kind of comparable will be a tolda. That's very vague language, but that's exactly the point. And in the Rambam's formulation, it seems to be a matter of degree. Just how comparable is it? And we seem to have somewhat of a Xerox machine effect, that the more you copy from the first copy, the second copy, the third copy, things get farther and farther away, and that's going to be a part of the issue. Hi.
Does that explain the Gemara's question of how there are many different types of Borer, and there are Malachos that seem the same?
Yeah,
and
so
it puts in, it says, well, it's in the Mishkan, so...
Right, so there the Gemara is basically saying that that seems to be anomalous, that had we been left to our own devices, we would have said that Borer, Zorah, Merakeh should all be one, and that they should all be in one slot. So how come they end up taking three slots? So the Gemara has half the answer to the question. The Gemara says, basically, it has connections. That since it was in the Mishkan, these extra malachas, Zohar and Merakeh, all those three malachas are all about getting rid of psola, getting rid of the waste matter, so to speak. So why is that three? It should be one in the rules that we're talking about, because they were all in the Mishkan. Now, that's only half an answer, so still there's got to be some difference. So the Rishonim you give what the difference is, that's too subtle, but enough to count together with the fact that it's in the Mishkan. And, for example, one approach that you have is that the process of making bread needs all three of these. You need to do all three of these actions of Borer, Zorah, and Merakeh. It's not as if there are three different things, and you could choose one, any one of them will work. You have, each one has its stage, so therefore it's considered distinct enough to be unique malachas. This is all, by the way, very confusing and very subtle and sometimes vague, so please don't hesitate. If there's anything that's not clear, please don't hesitate to ask. Hi.
Just goes back to Rashi. You're pointing to him, what is a similar op? If told us form is a different form of the same purpose, so what's an op?
Right, so you'd have to say that they're both there, that the form is similar enough. So, for example, if we want to use Zorei as the model, so if you look, so the Gemara has this, and I'm giving one base if you want to see it inside, maybe that's not a bad idea. So you could have put all this on the Marmokomos, but it would have taken you many weeks to get to this. This is all background for just the Gemaras that we're actually doing. But so you see here the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Beis, when it starts off talking about Hazareya, so lists off the different types of components. So it's about a third of the way down. Amravami Zomer Chayiv Mishum Noteya, Vahanoteya, Vahamavrich, Vahamarkiv Chayiv Mishum Zareya. So lists all these different actions, which are, some of them are much more similar to Zoraya, like Noteya and Mavrich Umarkiv basically means the definition is also subject to some debate, but some might mean planting seeds versus planting saplings, or grafting onto a plant. So it's basically the same, similar enough type of action, and it has the same goal. But Zomer, in Rashi's understanding, is going to be so different in form that it's going to have to be something else. All right, so Rashi's language over here is Zoreya av malacha, v'noteya nami av malachahu, dahainu Zoreya. It's essentially the same thing. Elisha zeb is roim v'zeb ilanos. Right, that Zoreya is you put seeds in, and noteya is you put little trees in the ground, but it's essentially similar enough, so they're both avs. V'chein mavrich u'markiv, different types of grafting on, is a similar idea. Aval zomer tolda. But pruning, that's a tolda. So the Acharonim explain what he means, why all of these five things, only one of them is a tolda, because they all share the same function. But Zomer is opposite in the way it happens. You're cutting something down instead of putting it in. So therefore, that becomes a tolda. And again, the Rambam's definition is more vague, and other Rishonim have other definitions. But this is probably the most common and most relatable understanding, that that's where you find the difference. So this could lead to the view that we mentioned a little while ago, that malacha shenetzricha legufa by a tolda should be pater. Because if you do the math, what do you have? What's the definition of a tolda? Function without form. What's the definition of a malacha shenetzricha legufa? Form without function. Right? The malacha is the same, malacha shenetzricha legufa is the same action as a malacha done for a different purpose. And tolda is the same purpose accomplished through a different action. So if something is both a tolda and she'ena tzricha legufa, then it comes out that it shares neither the form nor the function of an av. So you can understand the view that this would be close to nothing in halacha. You've wiped out all the major elements of a malacha. In fact, that's so compelling on some level that you might say, how come not everyone agrees with that? How come that's not 100% unanimous? Because that is very compelling if you do the math.
Only Rashi, though.
Well, Rashi's definition of a tolda. Right, so you have to put together a couple of positions. So you could say the reason it's not so muskim is because maybe we don't necessarily subscribe to that definition of either the tolda or malacha shenetzricha legufa. But another way to say it also is that maybe you could disagree just because it's a little bit misleading to say it that way. That it's not that we look at every action that we do on Shabbos and say, okay, is this going to share the same purpose as a Yav Malacha? Okay, then it's a Tolda. Is it going to have the same form? Okay, then it's a Malacha that's Atzrich Lugufa. The Toldos exist. Nowadays we're not making any new Toldos. The Toldos are all set in stone already. So a Tolda is a Tolda by itself. So now if you're going to do that Tolda, it has a status like a Malacha. So we don't view it as inferior anymore because it's missing a step from the malacha. So now it has its own status, so it's the same kind of thing as a av das malacha shenetzrich legufa. That's one way to dispute this whole logic. But on the surface, it sounds very nice. It does seem like it's got a certain elegance to it, that you put those things two together and you come out with less. Another way to come to that same conclusion is there is another view, Menachem Zemba points this out, I think, that if you say a tolda is basically not as precise as we said before, that it's davka, something that has the toeles without the form, but you say it's just comparable in some vague way, so then you could say that a malacha shenetzricha legufa is itself a tolda. Right? So malacha shenetzricha legufa might be the same thing as a tolda, because if we're not so precise about which half of the equation it has to have, so malacha shenetzricha legufa has something in common with the malacha. So let's call that a tolda. So Taka, if that's true, why don't we say that a malacha shenetzricha legufa should be chayiv on Shabbos, just like a tolda? Why are we so much more lenient on malacha shenetzricha legufa? If a tolda is an issa deraisa, malacha shenetzricha legufa should also be an issa deraisa. So the truth is, there are those who say that a malacha shenetzricha legufa is aser min haTorah. It's a view in the Gemara, Rabbi Huda. And it's a view in the Rishonim. The Rambam says it. Right? The Rambam says that a malacha shenetzricha legufa is chayiv. So it could be that he understands it to be basically that toldah, that it doesn't have to have a specific similarity, it has to have some similarity. So Malacha Shein Shrich L'Gufa is in that category as well. However, if you want to take that view, you could still come to the idea that a Malacha Shein Shrich L'Gufa, a toldah Shein Shrich L'Gufa, is still something less, because it's a double toldah then. Right? And a double toldah, a toldah of a toldah, that there are some Rishonim who simply say that doesn't exist. Right? Some Rishonim say there is such a thing, there are some Rishonim that are explicit. They actually read this Gemara about Zareah as saying is a tolda of a tolda. You can keep on the toldos forever, or at least two generations. But there are Rishonim who maintain there's no such thing as a grandson tolda. There's no tolda of a tolda. And as we mentioned before, it could be the Xerox effect, that once you keep copying to the next generations, you get too far away from the original Av if it's all based on similarity. And then you say similarity and similarity of similarity and similarity of similarity, eventually you're going to get too far away. There's not going to be enough common genetic material to the original malacha that's going to put it on the list. So in other words, just to recap, you could say that a toldah shein shrich l'gufa might be nothing or close to nothing for two reasons. Either because you take a precise definition of both those terms and you say, therefore, a toldah shein shrich l'gufa is missing both the form and the function, so it's nothing. Or you don't take such a precise definition of either term, but you say that a toldah and a toldah of itself is too far removed, and that's essentially what a toldah shein shrich l'gufa is. So two ways to lead to that conclusion, which is still disputed, but there are two pretty solid ways to possibly say such a thing. Hi.
Is there a debate about an av shein shrich l'gufa?
Yes, so that's so halacha, we tend to assume that an av shein shrich l'gufa is pater, but it is a machlokas. A machlokas in the Gemara, Rabbi Huda's opinion, and the Rambam. And the truth is, even the Shulchan Aruch, I say we assume, so presumably that should mean the Shulchan Aruch says that it's pater. The Shulchan Aruch is a little vague on this, and there are those who read the Shulchan Aruch in different ways. The halacha, again, we assume, in general, in Psak, we assume that Malacha Shein Shrich L'Gufa is an Issid Rabbanan. But there is a little bit of a debate about it because of this, because there is a view of the Rambam and there is a view of the Gemara, and it's not as obvious as some other points in Hilchos Shabbos, which are also simple and obvious and don't need any discussion whatsoever. Anyway, so that's a little bit of background about toldos, a little bit of discussion. So now, that hopefully can leave us some time to still talk about the actual toldos, so I guess this probably will carry over a little bit, at least one more day. But with that framework, you could see now, and this is something also, notice the Hari Kedem points out also, but this I think is a more self-evident point, so I don't know if you need the Hari Kedem for this, but once you say that if you want to define a toldah as something that shares the purpose of a malacha, so then we could already see that based on what we've been saying till now, Hotzah is going to get complicated. Right? If Hotzah, its very nature is that it's missing a toelis, if that's true, so then we could see that toldos are going to have some kind of a complicated relationship. Because if you believe that a tolda is something that shares the toelis, there's no toelis to share.
What does it mean there's no toelis?
Well, if we say that every other malacha, like we've been discussing the past few days about the malacha grua, and if you say that normally a malacha is about accomplishing some effect in the world, and Hotzah doesn't really have an effect in the world, it either has no effect in the world, like the Schlepp factor is saying that that's the malacha, or it has a subtle, surprising effect that we wouldn't have counted, the moving from one Rishos to the next. So either way, there's something about this effect that's surprising or non-existent. So then if a toldah is indeed all based on something that shares the effect, but the effect here is all problematic, it's either not there or surprising. So where's our material to generate toldahs from?
But intent or purposeness isn't necessarily an effect. For example, we said that Tosfos says that, believe that the Mishkan, the purpose of what's on the Mishkan was to have the stuff there.
Right, so that's again, that's a big chiddush though. So once you come to, you wouldn't have known this without the chiddushim of the Pesukim, that's Tosfos' point and the way we're understanding it. So you would have thought there's no purpose at all. Now we see through the sources that there is somewhat of a surprising toelis. So either you'll say like that, or you might say, still, there's no toelis. It's all about your schlepping, so there's an issue in your exertion, but you're still not accomplishing anything. So either way, there's something vague about what's being accomplished, either in a little bit of a sense of a vagueness or a complete vagueness. And if toldos are about looking at the purpose of a malacha, so clearly we have some issue here. Clearly we have weaker material or no material from which to generate toldos. So that we can understand then why Tosus, the very beginning of the Masechta, why Tosus is saying, why do we need Makoros for the toldos? Because Malacha Grua, right? It all makes sense. That since there's something lacking in Hotzah, so therefore every other Malacha, we don't need the Avos and the toldos both in the Mishkan. It's enough to have the Avos in the Mishkan. But when it comes to Hotzah, if they're going to be toldos, we need a lot of help. We need some other sources telling us what they are. Or we need the toldos to be in the Mishkan also, as seems to possibly be indicated, because we wouldn't know otherwise what they are. We would not be able to figure out toldos because we're lacking the information that we have with every other malacha. So with that background, with the combination of the two backgrounds we've been seeing, the issue of the issues within Hotzah and the definitions of toldos, we see why, put the two together, toldos need more sourcing in Hotzah than they do anywhere else. Parenthetically, by the way, there are some who understand that, and this gets into a more complex discussion as well, that toldos were set out by Chazal. Not that they're Drabbanans, that they're Daraisa, but in terms of clarifying what's a tolda, that Chazal essentially had the role in telling us how to determine it. Now that may be go to Malachas itself. Again, this is also more introduction. This is taking us a while to get to the actual sugya, but I think this introduction is important. No, I think it's important to have these backgrounds. So when it comes to Malachas in general, just while we're talking about that, so there is a Gemara in Seches Chagiga and Daf Yud Ches, and a Tosfos over there, that talks about Malachas Chalamoid. Like that there's an issue of Malacha and Chalamoy, as we mentioned the other day, how it differs from Malacha San Shabbos. And as Tosfos discusses, and the Gemara already gets into, that it's hard to pin down how Malacha's Chalamoy works. On the one hand, we assume that that's Min HaTorah, the notion of not doing Malacha and Chalamoy. But the attitudes that we find in the Gemara, they sound like we're talking about the Rabbanans. The types of Heterim that we have, it sounds like it's a Din de Rabbanan. So what emerges from the Gemara and the Tosfos over there is that this is a example of a concept called Masar HaKasuv L'Chachamim. That sometimes you have a halacha that the Torah has a din. So the concept itself is from the Chumash. But the parameters were given to Chazal to define. That it's called Masar HaKasuv L'Chachamim. It's that big machlokus what exactly it means, but just roughly speaking, that Chazal were given the authority to determine what is the Din Mahatorah. So you find this invoked in the concept of Malachas Chalamoid. But if you want to see a very sweeping discussion, so Rav David Cohn from Brooklyn, and his Sefer Gvul Yavetz, has many fascinating things. So one of the fascinating things he has a whole kuntris Masar HaKasav Chachamim. There's a whole essay there. He lists every time anywhere in rabbinic literature where something is suggested that it might be Masar HaKasav L'Chachamim. So, for example, there's Chacham Tzvi and others who say that the Psulim of Elulav and Esrog, which also seem like they were Din Min HaTorah, but it's hard to see from the Psukim where they all come from. There's another example where the Torah says you have to have a Kasher Esrog, and the Chazal were allowed to define what that means. So can't do Malacha on Yantif, including Chol HaMoed. Well, you can't do Malacha on Yantif throughout, and we assume it includes Chol HaMoed. So,
I thought it always says the first and seventh day.
Well, it's all based on derivations, so how you understand what the Psukim mean. It comes out that that's why there's room for ambiguity, because it comes out that it sounds like the Yisr is coming from the Torah, but the nature of the Gemara sounds like it's Drabbanan. So you kind of end up with this split that maybe it's half Min HaTorah, so to speak, and half Midrabbanan. And that's most prominently associated with Chol HaMoed, but there are Makoros in the Rishonim and in the Acharonim of Yosef Engel. We've mentioned Yosef Engel in the past, right? The great Gaon from Poland about 100 years ago, So he has also, in addition to his many svarim that we've made reference to, he has a sefer on the daf called the Gilyonei Hashas. So in the Gilyonei Hashas and Daf Memtes, he mentions a view that even the malachos of Shabbos too were that way. That's part of the mystery here. The malachos of Shabbos were given to Chazal to determine what is included. So less radical than that is the view that toldos are in such a category. That maybe the malachos, that's straight minat Torah, but the extra categories that are included within them, the toldos, maybe Chazal determined that. The Chazal said there are certain other actions which have different forms, but they're meant to accomplish the same thing as a malacha, so therefore that'll also be included in the broader sense. So, for example, Rav Schechter has mentioned this to explain the following. That sometimes the Gemara sounds like you could do one action and be chayiv two different malachas. So, just because we mentioned it here, we'll continue this point. In Gimel and Beis, the Gemara talks about if somebody prunes trees, Zomer, that we mentioned a few minutes ago, and he's interested also in collecting the wood, so it's an act of kotzer, he's gathering the wood from the trees and making the trees grow better. So the Gemara says you could theoretically be chayiv both for Zoreya and for kotzer at the same time. But elsewhere, there are Gemaras that sound like it's an action is going to be one or the other. So essentially, there's a somewhat of a steerer between Gemaras. Can you have one action be two malachas? Or is it only going to be one malacha? So there are different approaches to resolve the steerer. But one approach is that it depends whether you're talking about an av or a toldo. That avos, you could violate two avos with one action. But, say, two toldos, it's not going to be a toldo of two malach. It's only going to be a toldo of one malach. So why should that be? So some of the Achronim explain that toldos were instituted by Chazal when there was a certain action that they said, this is too close to a malacha, so therefore it's essentially going to be a malacha. So it only made sense if they wanted to essentially include something in the Surah of Shabbos, so it only was necessary to make it one tolda. Once they've accomplished establishing that it's also Minat Torah, so then there is no need to put it into two categories. So a tolda, if Chazal had this role in determining what it was, then it's essentially overkill to make it more than one category. Okay, so in any event, it could be that the toldos had rabbinic input, and that's also a position you find as well. All right, so with that basic introduction about toldos, and with our previous day's introduction to Hotzah, so we see that there's going to be some complexity with Hotzah and its toldos, and that's what Tosfos is alluding to when it says that you need extra psukim, or you need the malacha to be in the Mishkan itself in order to be a toldah. So that being the case, so we see that there are some disputed toldos, or things that disputed whether they are an av or a toldah. And the first one, at least we'll try to get this one in today, is hachnasa. Right, so what is hachnasa? So hachnasa, to bring something inside the house, as opposed to go the opposite direction and take something from inside outside. So that, is that an av or a tolda? So what would your first inclination be? An av. Okay, inclination meaning before you open the Gemara. Right, but if you read the Gemara, as I've shown, I guess I should define that a little more precisely. Right, so you would have said, right, your first inclination, it's true, is an av, because logically it seems like it should be an av. I grant that. If you've learned the Gemara in Hazoreg, you'll see the Gemara that basically says, Beferish, that it is a tolda. So there certainly seems to be a view out there that it's a tolda, and that might have been our instinct, and Tosfos says that Beferish, that it's a tolda, and the Gemara says it's a tolda. So clearly there is a camp that says Hachnasa is a tolda. But the question then comes up, though. So first of all, as the Rishonim point out, so it's strange in the Mishnayos. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah, if you assume that our first Mishnah includes Hachnasa, so then it's unusual that toldos are mentioned in the Mishnayos. For the most part, the toldos are not mentioned in the Mishnayos. They also point that on the Mishnah in Gimel Amud Aleph, where it lists all the malachos. So there's only 39 slots there, no toldos mentioned, and no extra avos even mentioned. But the last one, Hamotzei Mirshus L'Rishus, so if Hachnasa is a Tolda, why doesn't the Mishnah say Hamotzei Mirshus Hayachid L'Rishus Harabim? Sounds like it's inclusive of Hachnasa. Sounds like it also includes Hamotzei Mirshus Harabim L'Rishus Hayachid. So this is an issue that Rishonim pick up on. Why is it that Hotzah is so lucky that they get their toldos mentioned in the Mishnayos and the other malachas don't? So you could address it a number of ways, but there is also an approach in the Rishonim, if you saw the Ramban, for example, that says that there's really a machlokas asukis, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. That yes, the Gemara in Hazorik says it is a tolda, but there are also opinions among the Amoraim that it is an av. And that's very likely the position of the Rambam as well. Because the Rambam, when he lists the aspects of Hotzah, the Av and the Toldos, so he does not identify Hachnasa as a Tolda. So the Lechem Mishnah says, why not? Lechem Mishnah asks on him, right, why did he not mention that it is a Tolda? So many assume that he doesn't say so because he doesn't agree. And he thinks that this is also an av. So as we've already said, the Rambam has a more generous view of avos than other Rishonim. He's more willing to include more actions within an av than other Rishonim are with other malachas also. But it could be that maybe there's something fundamental here. Right? So if we have a machlokas Rishonim as to whether Hachnasa is an av or a tolda, so how could you explain that? So you could explain it in a couple ways. One way you could explain it is that maybe it's a girsa question, which goes to a source question. Right? We've been discussing until now, the end of the day, is Hotzah a malacha or not? Right? Which could go to the question when the Gemara on Sadi Vav, when the Gemara on Hazorek quotes from the pasuk of Yikale Ha'ami Lahavi, that Hotzah is a malacha. So what's the chiddush of that Gemara? Is that Gemara telling us that it's a malacha like all the other malachas of Shabbos? Or is it telling us that, and that's what the pasuk is telling us? Or is it telling us that, no, there's a makar for an Isser Hotzah, so it's Aser, but it's not in the same category as all the other malachas? So from the Gemara itself, it sounds like it's just bringing a makar that there's an Isser Hotzah. Not necessarily that it's a malacha. But there are other girsos in this Gemara. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, you look at the Tosfos on the next page. Rabbeinu Chananel and Rav Haigon have a girsa in this Gemara that says, how do you know that Hotzah is a malacha? So while that could be relevant to that general question that we're asking, is it a malacha or not? The malacha grew the whole issue. But also in terms of defining the malacha, it could be relevant. Because you could say that, this is how some understand it, that if this Gemara is telling you that it's a malacha, and then we just plug it back into the system, okay, so then let it have its normal status. That like the Gemara then goes on to say, right, that really Hachnasa and Hotzah are pretty similar, and I guess that's what you meant when you said your first inclination, right? Because you have a svara of Mali Yuli Mali Afuke. What difference does it make whether I'm bringing something into the house, bringing something out of the house? So if you believe that essentially it's a malach like all the other malachas, then you might say that there's not much difference between Hotzah and Hachnasa. But if you say that the point of this Gemara is to be the independent source for the Isser Hotzah, so then we don't necessarily have the same mechanism. And the pasuk is, I think as Yosef was pointing out before in Seder, the pasuk is talking about taking out specifically, bringing things out, so then that's just what the pasuk is. And we don't necessarily have the same Mishkan kind of rules. So then, to call this a tolda, so then we'll need to be taught that this is a tolda, but it's not going to necessarily have an av status.
Hi. If you say that pasuk was talking about a case that they're bringing out, if you still apply the Samari Malia Yule, so it doesn't matter what the pasuk was, it just happened to be a pasuk was had to be talking about a specific case where it happened to be going out, but the whole Svara Malia Yule means that it doesn't matter what the actual case was.
Except that the Svara might only be enough on a tolda level. Right. That's like, you know, the spirit of how toldos are derived in general. So, but we'll say more about that svar in a second. So, essentially, that could be one way to approach the issue. Or you could approach the issue just in terms of the question of what Hotzah is all about. And you could say that if Hotzah is about our question whether it's about changing Rishus or it's about schlepping, so if it's about changing Rishus, so then yes, it's still not so obvious why inside out is a malacha and outside in is not a malacha, but at least we know the Rishus is significant. So maybe it is something to pay attention to. And maybe that is a differentiation. But if you say that it's about schleppitude, so then it really doesn't matter, right? Then really, you're schlepping inside, you're schlepping outside, it's the same schlepping. So there are those who want to suggest, and Ravasha Weiss has an essay along these lines as well, that the Rambam is together with the Rashba in this, really, that he understands that it's about schlepping. So Lamais, it's going to be an av, because it's no different. It really is the same thing, you're schlepping inside, you're schlepping outside. And the Tosfos, who says it's a tolda, it's l'shitasam, because Tosfos, who believes that it's about changing Rishus, so it's still hard to see why this way yes and that way no, but at least Rishus is an important aspect of the definition. So to discuss that svar a little bit further, so this is also interesting, and then I think we'll probably just mention this point, and then we'll review a little bit. So we'll have to talk about Havaris Dalet Amos Bereshis Harab, and then we'll have to talk about next week. Tomorrow is a Chumash day, and Sunday we'll finish up Lifnei Iver. So Monday we'll talk about Dalet Amos Bereshis Harab. But keep in mind, this whole Hakdama is going to draw on a lot of the same principles. That also we'll see some machlokas whether that's a tolda or nav. So hold on to those thoughts. But we mentioned the other day the Kajib Lover Rav, whose picture is on 5A in the library. So the Kajib Lover Rav, we mentioned the tshuva of his the other day. So now I'm going to mention something he wrote elsewhere. In Chelek Beis of the collected writings of the Kajib Lover Rav is Chidushim on the Daf. First volume is tshuvas. Second volume is Chidushim on the Daf. So it's Chidushim on Daf Beis and Shabbos. So he discusses the svara of Mayi Yuli Mali Afuke. What difference does it make you go in? What difference does it make you go out? So his thinking is, what are you talking about? It could be a big difference. Right? Essentially, it's the opposite. Right? So bringing something, if you want to say that the malacha is about bringing something outside, so then bringing something inside is a reversal of that. So, for example, we have a lot of malachos that are opposites of each other, like mavir u'machabe, or kosev u'mochek. But all of those are in the Mishkan, so they all count as malachos. And their assumption is that in each case, the reverse one is also a constructive act. But were it not for the Chiddush of the Mishkan, if we just had a malacha of Mavir, no one would say, oh, well, if Mavir is also, then I can assume extinguishing fire is also awesome. And if we only had a malacha of Kosev and not Mochek, you wouldn't say, well, okay, if Kosev is awesome, Mochek's also got to be awesome. That wouldn't be a svar that you'd apply to any other malacha, that the reverse is automatically true. So, for example, he says you have a malacha of tzad. You're not allowed to hunt to trap an animal. You can't trap an animal. So, does anyone think there's a malacha involved in releasing an animal? Presumably not. So, we don't have any kind of svara that just says the opposite of any malacha is also a malacha.
The action is so different. Lighting a fire and putting out a fire is different. But carrying is not so carrying one way or another.
Right, so you see it kind of ties into the previous point, the question of what is really the action. If the action is the carrying, so then that seems to really be a negligible difference, and that's probably why the Rambam and the Rashba could all be in that camp, that that's really what the malacha is. But if it's about, if you want to define it as taking something outside, so taking something outside and bringing it inside at the same thing, those seem like opposites. So it depends how much you want to give significance to that difference. All right.
Are Binyan and Soser separate malachos?
Yes. So, but they're also, because it's in the Mishkan. Right? And Soser also, they're both points together in the Mishkan. And all these malachos, these negative-seeming malachos that are in the Mishkan, are also malachos that have a theoretically constructive purpose. So Soser al-Manas Livnos is really what's prohibited, that you knock something down so that you can build on top of it. So we wouldn't necessarily know all these things if we didn't have listings in the Mishnah. And we wouldn't have said, oh, well, whatever's listed, the opposite is also true. Now, Aryeh is right, that how much is it the opposite? Assuming that it's the opposite is making a certain assumption about what the malacha is, which is all what this discussion is. So, hi.
Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe it's that we don't want people to think that it's the opposite, and that's why these are halachos.
Mm-hmm. So
it's not the opposite. It's that you're doing an opposite action, but really to be doing the same exact thing.
So the chiddush is that you could have thought it was the opposite, and the chiddush, that's the chiddush of the Tolda, to tell us that functionally it's the same thing. And even that you could say in two different ways. Either you could say like the Rashba Rambam camp that it's literally the same thing, or you could say within Tosfos that it's essentially the same thing, that changing the rishus is what matters, and not necessarily which rishus you're changing it to. Now that gives us a little more precision to this view, because if you say Tosfos' understanding is just changing it from the Rishas, then it shouldn't necessarily matter. But like we said at the beginning of today's shiur, that if you want to say, like the Malach Shemitz Friedrich Gufa point, that it's not just about changing Rishas, but making it available to the outside world, for example, then maybe we could sharpen the point in such a way that Hachnasa really is the opposite. So in any event, the Chajah Glover's conclusion, in order to say that they are the same, basically, to explain the Svar Viyule Afuke being comparable. So you know it's based on the language of the Ramban on Ardaf that understands, it's a little bit opposite in the way others have said it. We discussed last week the possibility of Akira and Hanacha, which is something we have to get into a little bit more. Is Akira and Hanacha, you know, just the conditions, but it's really about schlepping, but on condition that you have Akira and Hanacha? Or if it's about changing Rishus, then Akira and Hanacha become much more significant. That's what takes something away from one place and puts it in another place. So the Ramban discusses the possibility that the Malacha should be defined through the Akira. That when it's been uprooted from one place and placed somewhere else, but the focus has been uprooted, that's where the Malacha is happening. So he goes on to say that it's considered to be in a state of Akira until it is placed somewhere else. So the ikar of the malacha is the fact that it was uprooted from somewhere, where it's considered to be uprooted until it lands. So therefore, we go after the akira. So if you want to say like that, he adds, the Chajah Glover in general is interesting for giving some kind of wild comparisons. So he just notes a psikta that says that the entire time the Jews were wandering in the desert, so that was called Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why was that Yetzias Mitzrayim? Wasn't Yetzias Mitzrayim only when they left Mitzrayim? He says, no, that's called Yetzias from the first place until you get to the new place. You're still in a state of Yetzias. So all the time you're wandering, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim until they actually, Nafka Mina is probably for Dayenu somehow, if you think about it, but Ilu Hotzionu, whatever. So it's considered to be Yetzias Mitzrayim until you get there.
Is that why the Mishnah says Yetzias?
Maybe, right. So I think the truth is, so, no, but maybe not, because he says that in another tshuva that we mentioned the other day. So I wonder if you could connect these two statements, that basically, if you want to stay like that, so then we discussed the other day the chiddush of some achronim, including the Chajah Glover and the different tshuva, where he says that Malacha Gerua represents the fact that human involvement is more significant than any other Malacha. Every other Malacha is defined by itself, and a human has to do it to be chayiv, but the malacha has its own inherent definition. And Hotzah is unique in that it's really only the malacha through the human involvement. So we said at the time that that works better for the Rashba Rambam kind of camp, because if it's about your schlepping, so yeah, that's all about what the human is doing, and nothing about the impact. But if it's a Tosfos kind of view, that it's about moving it from one place to the next, so then still, the human being is really only the one happening, the one doing it. Except that when you think about this, you could say that even in terms of its effect, the Shinui Rishus, that is also uniquely human dependent. Because as long as you have decided to keep it in play, it's not called done. That its definition of being placed somewhere else, especially if you say that it gets Nekar Mim Komo, it gets picked up from its original place, and then there's no finishing of the malacha until you decide to leave it somewhere. So yes, ultimately the change is the designation that comes from the Shinui Rishus. But that designation is completely dependent on, are you going to keep going with it or are you going to put it down? So in that way, even the Shinui Rishus has a unique responsivity to the human involvement that other malachas don't. And maybe then you could put these points together and kind of come to that conclusion. Okay, I'm going to quickly review, and then we'll daven mincha. But we said a lot of stuff today. So any questions about anything? Again, some of these things are very vague and a lot of details. Any issues? So again, I'll quickly review it. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate. But basically, we made the following points. So we just kind of quoted inside that idea about Makalkel possibly not being applicable to Hotzah, that Rav Soloveitchik thought that was a reflection of Malacha Gerua. Same kind of point as the Beis Yitzchak, but without referencing that. But he used that to explain the Gemara of Beis with Aleph, why it is that you're still chayav for Hotzah, even if it results in a dog eating something or a fire burning it, because there's no patur of Makalkel. But then he went on to say that, or the editor went on, someone went on to say over there, that it's interesting to say there's no tachlis, because Tosfos that says Malacha Shnei Tzricha L'Gufa is all about differing from the tachlis of the Mishkan. So Malach Shetzrich L'Gufa, the Gemara says, is very relevant to Hotzah, or it looks like it's very relevant to Hotzah, and Tosfos says there, because Hotzah in the Mishkan was to have the materials available. So we suggested that that could actually make sense, doesn't have to contradict the idea that there's no purpose for Toelis, it could work well, Tosfos L'Shitasim, that if ultimately it's a purpose of changing Rishus, so you change Rishus so that it'll be available, that just kind of fills out the picture. And then we use the Mashal of Hilchos Lifnei Iver, where again, geographical location represents being available, being not available, all tied into this rishos or that rishos. And then we started a little bit of background about toldos, talked about the sparse difference between toldos and avos, if there is one, although mentioned that there is a possibility that in the area of Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa there is a big difference disputed. And then we talked about where toldos come from, that the most common view is that it shares a purpose with a malacha but not the form, although the Rambam seems to say something different. And the Rambam has a more generous view of Avos, but that's the most common view associated with Rashi and others. And we said that could also lead us to the conclusion that Einis Tzricha L'Gufa is an exemption on that point, because you have neither the purpose nor the form. Although many could disagree with that for various reasons that we went into. We also mentioned the idea that a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa itself could fit the definition of a Tolda, if you have a looser definition. And indeed, that might be the reason that there is a strong opinion that you're chayiv from Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Maybe it essentially is a tolda, but that could also lead you to the conclusion that a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa in a tolda is still a pater, because maybe it's a tolda of a tolda, and maybe that itself is a new category of exemption. So we said, putting all these parts together, we saw that Hotzah is going to have a hard time having a tolda if it doesn't really have a purpose. And that's what Tosfos is getting at, that because of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, we need more sources for what its toldos are. And then we started to look at one of the major disputed territories, the question of Hachnasa. Hachnasa, the Gemara, sounds like it is a tolda, and Tosfos, some Rishonim seem to say that as well. But other Rishonim suggest that no, that it is an Av, that seems to be the view of the Ramban, or in the view of the Rambam, probably, the way he's interpreted. And we noted two ways to look at that, that either you could say that it has to do with the source and the whole logic of ultimately is Hotzah Malacha or not, and then that might affect it, or even separate from that, what is the Malacha of Hotzah? That if the Malacha is schlepping, so then really, Ma'yiluli Ma'liyafuke is a very strong svar, there's no real difference. But if it's about changing Rishus, so then Rishus is at least relevant, so then you could see why one direction is more significant than the other direction. And then especially you mentioned Kajik Lover's essay about this, where he says that the Sfar of Ma'yule Ma'liyafuke is actually very relevant, because if the whole point is the Akira, so then they both have a Akira, and that's essentially what it's about, because otherwise you could say the Sfar is not so good, because if it's the opposite of Malacha, we wouldn't have that Sfar by any other Malacha. And then we use that to suggest that that's why, well, even if you say that it's about Shini Rishos, human involvement is still more significant in this Malacha than it is in any other Malacha. So just to mention, it's kind of a preview for the next point. So the Rambam, we see, apparently the Rambam, if he focuses on schlepping, so we see he includes more within the Av of Hotzah than other Rishonim do. He seems to include Hachnasa here. And as we'll see, Dalarama's Prashosa Rabbim is also an Av, according to him. And other Rishonim disagree. We'll talk about that probably next week. But it seems to flow from the same kind of a structure. And you should take note of the fact that the Rambam does have toldos by Hotzah, and the toldos that he has are zorek, moshit, that when you're going to throw something or stick your hand at, if you're going to get it somewhere, but your form is really different, you're really functionally doing a very different thing, instead of carrying your throwing it, which certainly varies the schlep factor significantly, so then that he would acknowledge as a toldo. There are differences that he would pay attention to, and it's noteworthy what the differences are that he pays attention to and what the differences are that he doesn't pay attention to. Okay, so who wants to down for us? Adam, you want to down for us?